This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Thanks for listening to the Koi Pond on Podcast One.
Check it out. If you're trying to watch, old movies, old TV shows, whatever it is, there's a new streaming platform out there called Pluto TV. That's right. Pluto TV is the leading free streaming television service. You can get anything you want. You want to watch kung fu flicks, you want to watch comedies, you want to watch whatever it is, whatever you can think of, they have it. Dude, it's so cool, man. You just download the app. Just go to your phone apps, download Pluto TV, and you can watch over 100 TV channels, over 1,000 movies, all of them on demand and completely free. That's right. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card. You don't need to even sign up. You just download the app. And it's free. It's that easy. What are you waiting for? Look at your phone right now and just download Pluto TV. Never pay for TV again. Just download Pluto TV. You can download Pluto TV for free on all your favorite devices, including your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStation, and anywhere else you stream. If you stream it, then you got to get Pluto TV. That's right. Pluto TV. Hey, check this out, you guys. Podcast One has nothing but great, great personalities hosting great, great podcasts. And one of them just happens to be pro wrestling Hall of Famer and action movie star Stone Cold Steve Austin. Or you can call him Steve Austin. That's right. Steve Austin, man. This guy is everything. So go to Podcast One and listen to one of the greatest wrestlers of our generation. That's Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's right. Steve Austin on Podcast One. You're welcome.
Don't fake it, just bust a move. This joint is gonna get you in the mood.
Yo, I'm back. Oh my God. You know when you go on vacation because you just want to, you know, I needed to decompress?
Decompress.
I want to get my mojo back. Yeah. I need to step away from the game.
Right.
Bro, I was fiending the minute I went on vacation.
The day you got there.
The day I got there, I was like, man, I need to be in the studio again. I need to be on stage. But I mean, I love vacations, but damn, dude.
That's the sign of a true artist, man.
Don't get me wrong. I had a blast. Like, I loved being on vacation, but I was more anxiety than anything. Like, yo, I need to get on stage, like, ASAP. Like, yeah. I need to be in the pod. I need to talk. It's like a waste of time to me. Like, how do I explain this? Like, we're in the entertainment industry, okay? Our minds are creative, right? And then there's a bunch of people out there that actually have schedules and times that they wake up to, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they want to just get away from that. We don't have that.
So we don't, yeah.
Like, we get anything at any time.
Yeah.
I want to get up anytime. I want to write a joke anytime. Like, it's like our world is so fucked up, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so funny because, like, Amy, like, she's like, okay, let's do this. And like, and what time do you want to eat dinner? Like 7:30? Like, she wants to make a reservation. I'm like, let's just go.
Let's just go. Yeah. That's the creative in you. Yeah.
It is,
like,
right?
Like, let's just go. Let's improv this shit.
Yeah. She's like, when we go on another vacation, when do you want to go? I don't know. When I wake up. When I wake up and say, let's go.
Do you find that makes you like not like things that are planned because they're planned?
Yes!
Wait, first of all, who is this guy?
That's a secret voice. That's a secret voice. First of all, ladies, I want you to guess. What ethnicity is he? Because that's a very deep and ladies. Sexy voice, ladies.
Ladies.
Say it again. Say
ladies.
Damn.
Hold on, let me lick my lips.
Look at your lips. Look at your lips.
Ladies.
It's like...
who said that that's sexy?
That was the word. I deeply regret it.
Hey, everyone thinks LL Cool J is the first one to lick his lips on the radio. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like, you can literally hear LL lick his lips when he raps. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you know who the original gangster was with that? That move?
Ooh.
The dude from the Cars. Remember the dude from the Cars?
Rick Ocasek.
Was that his name? The lead singer?
Is that his name?
Yeah.
I think so.
This is what he did in the song. He went like this. You kept it going till the sun went down. You kept it going.
I think that was the end of his sushi that he was eating.
Yeah.
What?
That sound was, he was finishing his sushi.
But why would anybody allow that on?
Why would you keep that take?
Yeah.
If you're a producer,
I know why.
Make it a record, and you hear that?
You kept it going till the sun went down. You kept it going.
I
would have been like, cut! What the fuck are you doing between the words, bro? Can you just deliver the line without licking your fucking? Yeah. What, you got honey in your mouth? What, you got yogurt? Are you licking ice cream? And what's his name? Ricky Kasich?
Rick Ocasek.
Rick Ocasek's like, well, I thought it'd be really neat if I just lick the lips.
They only kept that because it was in the analog era. Because it was just so expensive to re-record it. So they were
this is facts. You're spitting facts right now.
I have no idea.
Oh, son of a bitch. You sounded so smart right now. You said analog.
Yeah.
I don't even know what analog is.
You said era?
You said era? What is that, a hat? What is that, a fitted hat?
Back in the analog era.
Yeah, back then when they were wearing new eras.
If they would have had to splice that tape just to get rid of his lip smack.
Yeah.
You know how pissed the executives would have been?
Oh, man. I probably could go viral on YouTube if I just did a super cut of all just the licking of the lips.
Yes.
And just did an hour of that dude licking lips.
Of licking lips.
Yeah.
LL Cool J and Rick Ocasek. Is that his name?
I think so. We're going to call him that. That's his name today.
Going till the summer.
Rick Ocasek, dude.
Caitlin, can you pull that up on YouTube? It's the middle part when Rick Ocasek, I think it's the Cars, right?
But unfortunately our TV is not working right
now. Man, this is bootleg. But we can play the audio.
Can't play the audio, yeah.
You can? Yeah, play the audio.
Are we really in the analog era right now?
Yeah, we are actually in 1984. You didn't notice that when you walked into the studio, Andrew?
Man, dude, I thought I made it, and I realized
you made it way back.
Nostalgia's in now.
You didn't know this was a period pod.
Yeah, this is a period piece, bro.
Which one from Rick Ocasek?
It's, God, I forgot the name of that song. You kept it going.
I have no idea.
Till someone down. You kept it going.
Sounds like a great tune, though.
God, I forgot the name of that song. Andrew Lopez, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Yep, that's Andrew Lopez.
So happy to be here. You have no idea.
This Andrew is so Lopez, cool. What is your ethnicity? Because... Latino name, everyone quickly assumes Latino.
Yeah.
And
then the voice brings a whole other thing.
Yeah, then the voice.
It's all of the element.
Yeah.
Then I walk in, and then they're like, what the f-?
What are you, though? Because, like, I'll just say it. You're Filipino.
I'm Filipino, yeah. A quarter Korean, yeah. My dad is half Korean, half Filipino. My mom is full Filipino.
Wow, that's a mix right there, Korean-Filipino.
Yeah. Yeah, but I just say Filipino, though, because I didn't really grow up with a Korean side. My grandma was Korean, but I don't really. I'm mostly just.
Did she ever live with you guys?
No, she lived like two streets over, though.
She did?
Yeah.
And she cooked?
She cooked, man. And
so good.
Dude, I remember.
Aren't they called Ojimas?
Yeah.
Ojima.
Yeah. And she was, man, she was brutal. She used to like. Beat up her dog, but it was like a
okay.
Love.
Let's
like
not talk about
thing.
That. Yeah. We're in LA, and you want to get fans. One thing they care about a lot
That's
here
true.
Are dogs.
They loved each other, man.
Okay,
they loved each other,
and they physically showed
it. Yeah.
They physically showed their love.
It was a passionate love,
a passionate love with harder physical hugs.
Great. I loved her.
What was her name again?
Well, here's the thing that's crazy is that I only knew her as grandma when I was growing up because she passed away when I was so young.
Aww.
That I never really like got to know her. It was weird. I had, because when I moved to, I'm from Iowa, and I was like, we were like the only Asian family.
That's in Iowa. There was a Korean grandma in Iowa?
Yeah. I have an auntie.
Everywhere
that's
she went, she looked lost.
Dude, yeah. The cops used to just drive by and just to check up, see, are they still here?
Yeah, they're still here.
Yeah, and we would just wave. It was just like four.
Hey,
Asian.
They're waving at us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I drove by the old one. Yeah, she waved again. She's still here. I really think she's lost, but she seemed to have found another set of Asians.
They're multiplying.
They're like gremlins. I think it rained last night.
I kind of like it.
I feel safe. It's like a little ninja family here.
It was a great city, though. They were nice to us. They were awesome. But it was really small. It was a small town. But so when I was born, I had my dad's side of the family were like I knew them as my American grandpa and my American grandma, even though they were Asian, because they had already been U.S. citizens when I was born.
Yeah.
And then my other grandparents immigrated in, and they were Filipino grandma, Filipino.
Wow.
Grandma.
So the other set, did they have an accent?
Yeah.
The American grandparents.
A slight. It was definitely changing. But you know what's interesting about it, and I know a lot of Asian Americans who are first generation probably have this too, where it was my parents were the best, but they wanted to make sure that we would never get bullied, so they didn't want us to have an accent growing up, me and my brothers.
Oh my God.
I think a lot of my family was very like cognizant of that, where they were just like, let's make sure that, you know, we spoke to them in English and it wasn't as broken.
Yeah.
And it was so that I could have this deep ass voice.
Yeah.
You know. But that was, so they didn't have.
This is your mom every morning. Andrew, listen to Barry White. Listen to Barry White before you go to school.
That's pretty much what it was. It was like
listen
that.
Listen to all black music.
Boys to Men, All for One.
Boys to Men, All for One. Sing it again, Andrew. Sing it again. We belong together. Not that part. No, the part with the dark black voice.
You know, girl.
Yeah. The speaking part. The oh my God.
Yeah, girl. You know I loved you. Yeah. I always loved you. Let's take it to the next level.
It's a good move, man. That's cool, man. I did a lot of white women because of that.
Your mom was a forward thinker, man.
She's. Oh, I'm obsessed with her, man. She's the best. I talk to her every day on the phone.
Really?
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 28.
Damn, dude, you look 17.
Thanks, man.
She's in Iowa still?
Yeah, she's still in Iowa. She's going to be out here next week.
Nice.
But yeah, my whole family is pretty spread out, but they're still in Iowa. Pella, Iowa is where I
live. What brought them to Iowa? Yeah. What brings a small Asian eclectic family to Iowa.
Young,
like,
man.
You know what I mean? Like, where can we go where we're the only ones?
Yeah.
Iowa. It's like coming to America. You remember when they spin the globe?
Yeah.
They just had their finger in front of a U.S. map. Where can we go where there's absolutely no Asians?
Yeah. Iowa.
Yeah, Iowa.
That sounds Korean.
Yeah. Iowa.
Iowa.
Iowa not.
Yeah, I
don't know why I'm giving your Filipino family the worst Asian accent. So racist. If there's any accent that I know really well, it's the Filipino accent, and I choose to describe Andrew's fucking family. I'm giving him the most fucking stereotypical racist Asian. Iowa, we should go there now.
Oops.
I hope they have rice there. It's like a horrible sitcom where they look at the camera after they deliver the line. I hope they have rice there.
Yeah.
So racist. I'm sorry.
It's all good, man.
Filipino, Filipino mom, Filipino dad, but he's half Korean.
He's half Korean, yeah.
Full Korean grandma. Last name Latino, Lopez.
Lopez.
Moved to Iowa.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and if the listeners want to see where I grew up, it's Pella, Iowa. And if you were to Google it, right, you know Shrek, that movie Shrek?
Yes. Yeah.
You know Duloc, the town where they sing the songs?
Yeah.
And shit. No, but fuck.
Like, it's like super, like the, it's like where Lord Farquaad lives. It's super clean.
Yeah.
And so I grew up in a town that looks exactly like Duloc. It's super clean, 10,000 people. We literally get taught the Pella, Iowa song when you're a kid. So it's like, we're the kids from Powell, Iowa, USA. And we're here today. We have wooden muse costumes, wooden shoes. It's very proud to say we're the kids from Pella, Iowa. And I would be the one Asian kid singing this song in a Dutch costume.
Wow.
That's disturbing.
It was weird. And I wrote it into a pilot once, and I sent it around, and everyone's like, did a white guy write this? This is no way. This is real. It was. I was like, this is my truth. And they're like, nah, bro. I don't believe that shit at all. But it was a weird. And I think the way we ended up there was my dad's aunt married somebody in the military.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm telling you, man. Thank God. Thank God for the U.S. military.
Yeah, man.
They're the reason why I'm here. They're the reason. Hey, dude, if there was no Army, there'd be no Tiger Woods.
Truth.
If there was no Air Force, there'd be no Joe Coy, man.
Yeah.
If there was no Sailor, there'd be no Andrew Lopez.
Oh, my goodness. What would we do?
What would we do? Military is the original Tinder. I've said that 1,000 times. I said it 1,000 times.
Yeah,
you know how many soldiers back in the 70s was like, Korea, swipe left.
Well, you know what I actually think is? It's military is the original Bumble, where it was like the military is like, no, you don't talk to us. We talk to you.
Yeah. Yes.
We initiate first and we choose you.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. Like,
that
we'll tell you where you're going to go. Yeah. You're going to find your future and then it's like a studio audience. Japan. Hey. Studio audience. He boards a big-ass commercial plane. He's got a duffel bag. Comes back with a family.
Yeah, flash forward. He comes back full family.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? Comes back with a family. That's really how it happened back then.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Andrew Lopez. Let's explain to everybody who you are, dude. Mm. How long have you been doing stand-up?
Man, my story's a little weird. But I started stand up when I was like 17. I took a break and then I went to college and
where did you start stand up?
I started in Iowa.
Where?
The first act I would say was like my high school graduation speech was basically a stand up routine, and I would call that my first time doing it because there's no stand up in Iowa, especially for like an alternative young bro.
Yeah,
and I did like basically stand up at that, and then when I went to college at Iowa State, I wanted to write movies and act in movies, and I didn't know anyone in the business, so I was like, what's the closest thing I could do? I'll start doing stand up. Uh-huh. And I started doing it in like at Iowa State and at like coffee shops and at the MU and anywhere I could. And then
You went to Iowa State?
I went to Iowa State, yeah.
Nice,
and
man.
And then you just tried to hustle.
You just did like coffee houses and...
I tried to start my own shows, and then I tried to like open for every comedian that came. And this is the fun part of it.
This is when NACA would bring comedy to colleges,
well,
right?
You know what's crazy about that is that I think I have the career I have because I thank you so much. I liked comedy, like, and I knew that NACA wasn't bringing the best performers or the people that were going to be the ones that I wanted to open for.
Yeah.
So I got a job.
I'm
going to
explain real quick. NACA, I think it's called the National Association of College Activities.
Yes.
And they're responsible to, you know, not responsible. What they do is they basically present all these colleges at a conference, a bunch of like talent. That could potentially perform at your school, man.
Right. Yeah.
And these
are kids who are usually, to be blunt, because I was like at those conferences, they aren't like entertainment people. This is the only place they get to find out about comedians. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So they're like, you know, imagine like someone from Iowa State and you want to find talent, you have to go to this convention.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then at this convention, it's like this, they get this big convention space and build a stage and then they throw a bunch of talent up there.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know, all these kids from these colleges, they get a budget for the year, and they're like, ooh, I like that guy. Let me write that down. Yeah. We'll approach him, and ooh, I like that guy. So it's kind of crazy, dude.
It's a little weird. Did you ever do one?
Are you kidding? Yo, you want to hear my hustle, my
grind?
Let's go.
Let's go.
All right. So I auditioned for, like, some type of NACA, whatever. I forget what it is. You submit the tape, and then they, you know, you got to go through these loops and holes and shit to get invited to NACA. And I never got invited, and I never understood why. I was like, why am I not getting invited? So you know what I did? I told them to send me a brochure of the convention space and show me how much the booths are that you can rent for the convention. So there's entertainment booths, and then there's school booths. You know what I mean? And I rented out one of the entertainment booths. I forgot how much it cost, but I rented out one. It was with Ben Glebe. Do you know Ben Glebe?
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, it wasn't with Ben Glebe. I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that. No, it was. It was with Ben Glebe. That's another story, but I'm combining two stories for the end story, okay? Because I initially went there by myself, and then I ran into Ben, and then we created this thing. And anyways, long story short, I'm fucking up this story. I got two stories in my head right now. Ben Glebe was also in this convention. That's what I meant to say. And then I went there with this one comedian named Jill Michelle, okay? And what I did is I rented out this booth, and I created this whole package of me and Jill being, you know, that we're going to perform. I mean, we have our videos together, and we'll play videos on a big screen in our booth and try and get people to come to our booth and watch the videos and sell a show that way. And it never happened. But I mean, I made flyers. Yeah. I made t-shirts.
Yeah.
I rented out the booth. Mm-hmm. We decorated the booth. I brought a video equipment.
Yeah.
I did everything, bro.
It's like reverse job fair where it's like they come to you and you try to win a job from them coming to your booth.
Exactly. But see, the guarantee is to get invited to NACA and they put you on that stage. Mm-hmm. If you get on that stage, the main stage, usually you can book some stuff, right? Yeah. Yeah. But I never got invited, but I wanted to be at that convention. Right. So I said, fuck it, I'll just rent this booth out. And I booked a gig. This is the funniest shit. We were sitting down at a table and there was just this school, like the group of girls that were sitting down and we're all eating at this table. It's like this huge area where you can just eat. And I'm cracking them up at the table.
Yeah.
Just cracking them up. And then I handed that card and they booked it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was all from that hustle, man. It was all from eating. And that's how I booked the damn gig.
Do you remember the school?
I don't, but no. I remember where it was at. It was in Arizona, right on the border.
Okay.
And I remember when we were driving there, they were like, do not pick up hitchhikers because they're trying to sneak into the... I swear to God, it was creepy, man.
So wild.
It was like right on the border, man. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's my story.
Yeah, that NACA thing is weird. Like, it's weird, too, because, just to be real about it, like, those crowds are not good. Like, you know, you go there, you could come there with, like, the best, like a Chris Rock, tried and true, like, your closing bit, and it'll kill... And you'll get an applause break or whatever, and you worked on that for like 5 years. But if you just also go on that stage and you be like, yo, Kiki, I'm in my feelings, and dab, they lose their shit. Yeah, they're falling out of their chairs.
So it's not a really good gauge of where you are.
Nah, if you go over there, you're like, the Lion King's weird, right? And then they're like, I gotta book this guy. This guy's a genius.
Holy shit, let's put him in the student union.
Yeah.
Bro, you're talking about talent buyers that are of like 19 and 20 years old.
Yeah.
Like they just started masturbating. Right. And now you're giving them the responsibility.
Half those kids that
are talent for a year at a college with a budget.
Right.
Come on, they're
wearing Birkenstocks and a hoodie.
They're just trying to get into like a job after school. So they're like, I don't even like comedy, but I hope one day I get to work at FedEx headquarters. This will be nice. Like, I'll book comedy to get in there.
I can do talent buying for FedEx.
Well, then they were booking all talent though, right? So
there'd be singers, there'd be dancers, there'd be all kinds of stuff. Man, it was crazy, man. But that's one of those things that I feel like I always had to like do it myself. It was so crazy.
Well, that was the weird thing too, is I'll say this about it, and this is why I didn't end up booking through NACA, and I just went my own way, and that's kind of how I started doing stand-up. But like, I went to NACA and they would book it was like they knew that they wouldn't bring like an Asian comedian who talked about relationships. They would bring an Asian comedian who did exactly what like the most down the middle, family friendly Asian comedian that could follow a juggler at sober night on a Friday in Wisconsin. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Like they didn't bring comedians. They brought people who were like, this guy plays a guitar and he talks about like kimchi, and then he'll like sell a shirt afterwards, and after that we'll put up a Native American who can read minds.
That's so funny.
And it's like,
and let me tell you that, well, you went, what college did you go to, Dre?
University of Pacific.
And they never brought like diversity shows there? You don't remember that? But you were playing basketball, so weren't really...
I wasn't really on campus like that.
Yeah. So, okay, check this out, man. Like, I'm older than you, Andrew, so this is how far back I go. I finally got part of a college tour, okay, where this is where I made most of my money back in the 90s, and I was getting like $1,500, $1,600 a show, and I was like, rich, brah. I was rich. Anyways, it was called the Black Comedy College Tour. Mm. Black Comedy College Tour. At the head of the paper was a clip art of a court gesture, but it was a black guy. Swear to God, clip art. And it was right at the top and right on the side of it, it said Black Comedy College Tour.
That is horrible.
Right?
That's
the owner
crazy.
Is bright. It's horrible, but I'll tell you this, man. In the 90s, you weren't booking the improvs, bro, especially for black entertainer, black mm-hmm. Comics. They right. weren't getting at the improvs. They weren't. Right. If you weren't Martin Lawrence, you weren't working, bro.
Right.
And
right.
if you were a black comic that was on Def Jam or if you were on BET's Comic View or Showtime at the Apollo, you're not getting booked.
Right.
You're just not. And this guy was booking him, man. That's how I met JB Smooth. Mm. That's how I met Samore. Mm-hmm. That's how I met, I can keep going on, Michael mm-hmm. Blackson. Like, I met these guys 23 years ago.
Wow.
24 years ago. And it was so funny because he had a roster, right? Uh-huh. A roster. I wish I kept it. I think I still have it, but it's a roster page showing who's on his list of comics. Yeah. And it's just like I said, Michael Blackson, like Rudy Rush, Samore, you know what I mean? Yeah. Monique, you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden down at the bottom right corner, there's a picture of Joe Coy. And I was the other.
Yeah.
Because wow. these schools, you can't book an all black show. The colleges won't allow it. It's like, you're going to have a black headliner, but you got to have another ethnicity, because right. we want the whole community on the campus diversity. To be able to go. There diversity. Has to be diversity. Right. Mm-hmm. I was the diversity.
Wow.
I swear to God. So it was like, okay, we got Michael Blackson and we needed a Latino. So Joe Coy.
Yeah. yeah, yeah.
That was me.
Wow. Oh, you were other. You were really other.
I was really other.
Yeah.
Oh, and the student body requested a Korean. We got Joe Coy.
Right, right.
I was literally the other guy. And okay, then the other guy on that was Gary Owen. Mm. So it was like Gary Owen, myself, and Honest John.
Wow.
That's it. And then the rest was just all black. It was a black college comedy tour.
You know what's insane about that, too, is that that's also implying that you were the other comedian outside of black comedians, outside of, quote unquote, just regular comedians, which to them means white.
Yeah.
So, like, a comedian is white, and then there's black comedian, and then other comedian.
Can you believe that?
Right. How wild is that?
How wild is that, man?
I was in bands growing up. Like, I played hardcore music growing up, and there was two Asian dudes, there was two people named Andrew in my band, and I was Asian Andrew. Do you know what I mean? It's like so weird. Yeah. There's Andrew, and then there's Asian Andrew.
But the other Andrew, was he white?
He was white,
But he wasn't white Andrew.
No.
He was
regular Andrew.
He's the one. In Iowa's eyes, he's the only one that legally should have the name Andrew.
Yeah.
Asian Andrew, he took that name from somebody.
This is not a joke, listeners. In Iowa, if you're Asian, on your license plate, if you're Asian, they put a picture of kimchi on it.
Fuck you. I knew I recognized him. Have you seen it? It's in the news. When an Asian guy's on the loose, be on the lookout for this guy, and then it's like a bottle of kimchi.
Yeah.
Oh, I know him. I know who they're talking about. There's only six of them here.
Yeah.
And one of them's a crazy old woman who loves her dog a lot.
Yeah, she does. She does. I started stand up in college, and then I tried to open for as many people. But I told Joe this the first time I met him, is that I'm a Filipino comedian. I don't know very many of them. The first one I learned when I'm 17 years old, Joe Coy, I get obsessed, man. I'm like obsessed with you. I'm learning everything you did to get to where you are through the internet, through your agents when I was booking. And like, I did what you did. I would perform for Filipino associations. Yeah. I would email them and be like, do you know what a comedian is?
Yeah.
I could do for you. And like, I would have them. I remember how many times I would bomb in front of Filipino people.
Really?
But it would be like 400 of them.
Yeah.
You know, like, I did this casino, the Des Moines Filipino Association. There was like 300 Filipinos. I shouldn't have been in front of that crowd, but I just wanted stage time, and I wanted to do an hour. And I just hustled my way to be like, this is what it's going to be. Like, put up a stage, give me a mic, give me $200 in an hour, and we'll figure it out.
Well, can I? I'm gonna throw something out there. That's very nice of you. Thank you. I love you.
Yeah, you're the best.
That's cool, man. It's kind of cool when you hear like, when someone hears like someone's hustle and they're like, well, shit, he hustled. Yeah. I can do it.
Yeah.
I hate it when people come up to me going, dude, how do I get my Netflix already? Like, I got my hour. It's tight. It's like, bro, please. You're asking the wrong fucking guy, bro. Right. Yo, they said no to me.
Yeah.
I went and paid for that fucking special, right, man. Right. Like, yo, just go do it. Like, don't worry about other people's shit.
Yeah. Well, because even, as Andrew's saying, even if he patterns his hustle after yours,
yeah,
his road is still going to be different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So somebody coming to ask you that is like, I like asking you how to parent. You know what I mean?
Like, you know what I think is interesting about it? It's like there's a difference between trying to emulate someone's hustle when you ask them or ask them to learn how to hustle.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, exactly. I'm asking how your story so exactly. I can figure out my own story.
Yeah, exactly.
And I love that. But there's a lot of people that harp on other people's success.
For
and I hate that, man.
For
like, they look at other people's success and hate on it. It's like, why?
Yeah.
Use that as motivation, man. Like, it's out
totally.
There. This dude is successful because he went for it. So then fucking follow that. It's not that hard, man.
Totally.
Simple.
Did you guys see Constance Wu's thing she posted on Twitter and Facebook?
No, but I'm gonna now. I like her, man. I love her.
She posted this great thing about what Crazy Rich Asians as a movie means for the Asian community.
Oh.
And she posted this quote on there that was like, you know, you could either knock at the door or build your own house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just find that, like, there's something so like beautiful. Like, obviously, everyone says stay in your own lane, but like my favorite directors in film are the Duplass brothers, and they're like the biggest in the example of, like, you know, we're not going to wait for anyone. We're just going to build our own Calvary instead of wait for the Calvary to come to us.
Exactly.
And I think it's so interesting that the people who are bitter are just trying to hitch a ride on every Calvary they can, as opposed to look in the mirror and be like, I could be bigger because I believe I'm bigger.
Exactly.
Yeah. They're like, I should be bigger because Joe Coy's big.
Yeah.
You're wrong.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's
yeah.
never going to, you're never going to be like anyone else.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. 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 Right, exactly.
Right. It's, and you have to build your own house. I'm not going to live in your house.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Like,
I want to
fuck in my house, you know? Yeah.
Exactly. It's so funny because when you said Filipino associations, man, I, on the other hand, you know, I was booking these shows, but the one group that didn't book me was the Filipino Student Association.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So the students wouldn't do it.
So, okay, all I had to do is I had this show idea, okay? And I was like, I met Bobby Lee, and this is about 27 years ago, roughly.
Yeah.
And I met him in San Diego, and I was like, yo, man, I'm going to do this show. I haven't even had the show yet. I just knew that I was going to... Tell your what's his name to come in. I was like, yeah, cool. And I was gonna book this show at the university, and it'll be an Asian comedian showcase.
Yeah, yeah.
I got Mark Fernandez, and I got Bobby Lee and myself, right? And I was gonna go to the Filipino Student Association because if they sign off,
yeah,
I get the theater for free.
Right, right, right.
Right?
Yeah.
And all they had to do was go and sit in the seats. That's all they had to do. And I remember I went, and my cousin, Mona, she was a cheerleader for UNLV. This is during the Run and Rebel days when they were winning all the championships.
Right.
She was a cheerleader. And I thought, oh, I got a shoe in because she knows the people over at that student association. And I remember she got me a meeting with them, and we were at the student union at UNLV, and I pitched them the show. And I go, it's Bobby Lee's up-and-coming star, man. And I'm doing stand-up out here in Vegas, and all we need is you to sign this sheet of paper so we can get the theater for free. And they said, no, bro.
Wow. Did they give a reason?
And it crushed my heart. So then now I had to go back. I don't know. They were just like, no, we already have plans and blah. Like, it's bullshit. That, anyways, remember, this is like 90 something. Like, I can't even remember the year, 94 or whatever, right? So I'm like, now I'm like, fuck, man, now I got to get money because it was like $2,000 to rent this theater. So now I'm just trying to like get like sponsors to pay for it and shit. And I'm going to restaurants and like selling advertisement and brochures, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you buy half a page, it's $500, blah, blah, blah. I'm just trying to get money to pay for the theater and Bobby and Mark, right? And then all of a sudden, this girl that I was dating, her friend at work was in this frat. And he was like, I'll fucking sign it. Like, I'll fucking sign it, bro. Like, dude, you really talk like that. I wish I could get his name. Swear to God, man. He goes, I'll fucking... He came to one of my shows like 2 years ago, man. It
really?
Was like, I hugged him so hard. I was like, bro, you're the reason, like,
I
for
love
all
that,
of this.
Man.
Like, you changed my path,
right.
man.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'll fucking sign it. Like, why didn't they even sign it? All they had to do is sign it. Like,
yeah. I hope he says that about everything, dude. That's his, like, catchphrase.
Yeah.
I'll fucking sign it.
It's a Maserati. Yeah, I'll fucking sign it. You're going to move into an apartment? Yeah. I'll fucking sign
Look,
it.
Look, I want a divorce. I'll fucking sign it.
Whatever, man. Fucking sign it.
Everywhere
man.
He goes, like, dude, you're the signing guy, dude.
Yeah, I sign everything, man. Hey, nice painting. Do you mind if I fucking sign it? That way everyone thinks it's my painting.
That's the thing about him, though. That's the other thing is, I love that he has that voice because that is someone that's like, he's just a yes man.
Oh, that is somebody. That's
a yes man voice.
That's absolutely the voice that's going to sign everything.
Bro, he talks like that. He talks like this, man.
Yeah, dude.
And he signed it.
Because it's no worries to him. He's just like,
bro, he didn't give a shit. It's like, bro, it was a Wednesday night. Sign it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, right. Yo, he saw that I was trying to get. And so anyways, this is the part. I still sold my advertisement. You know what I mean? And I have a brochure. I still got the brochure. It's got everyone's bio and pictures and headshots in it and shit. And I made up enough money, you know, from the sponsors to pay Bobby and fly them out, right? No one came to the show. 800 seats, bro. I thought for sure.
Right.
I went there for like a week promoting that fucking show, man. Damn. Come support Asian comics, blah, 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 man. The Bobby Lee, man, he's the next big thing. Yeah. Blah, blah. I was doing all that shit, man. Mm-hmm. Just come support, man. It's free. It's free. Yeah. Just come. I'm in the studio. I don't even go to this school, man.
Yeah.
Right. No one came. Check this out. This is the best part. I laid out 800 chairs. I remember the student guy goes, how many chairs do you want? You want to put like 300? I go, man, all the way to the back. Bro, there's going to be standing room.
Yeah.
I remember he dropped like 600 seats. I was like, you got 200 more the way to the back.
What if
Jack?
We knock this wall down Can and we add knock, more, bro?
Can we knock that wall and make it an amp?
Do you have a couch? Can you put a couch in the back?
Can we knock the roof off and make this an amphitheater?
Oh, you don't own this? I know someone that will sign it as if he does own it.
I got a guy that will sign it.
He'll take all the fucking thing for you. Dude, bro, that's hilarious.
No, but check it out. It gets even better. So my dad's there. He brings, because my dad's a flight attendant, he brings one of his flight attendant buddies to come, right? And then, not even my sister came. Mona came and just a couple of other people, friends from work, right? So it was like, I'll say 10. I'll think it's 10 is the most. They're all in the front row, man. Wow. And I'm just like, fuck. I remember apologizing to Bobby, like, dude, I'm so sorry, man, but we're still going to have a fun time, man. It's a show. Bobby was like, yeah, it's a fucking show, man. They're here.
Right,
and then that dude came. Frat dude came. He brought his whole fraternity.
Nice. I love this guy.
I swear to God, man.
God
came
damn.
In his whole frat, and they all sat, man. It was like 30 deep, man. And I remember my heart sank, man. Just a bunch of white dudes in polo shirts.
Wow.
And they all lined up. And then guess what they did? They brought their sorority, bro.
Wow.
And I didn't even invite them. I didn't even invite them, bro. Wow. Swear to God.
Awesome.
And I remember going up to him, and I was like, yo, dude, like I didn't even know you were coming. He's like, yeah, well, one, when you sign it, we have to show up.
Yeah.
He goes, but two, like, man, I love you, man. You're funny, man. You know, of course we're going to come. And he brought everybody.
Dope. That's dope, man.
And that was like, I'd say about 70 people, man. But you know, when you see 70 people, you got a show.
When you had 10.
And it's all new fans. They've never
all
seen
new fans.
You before.
And you know what else happened after that, Andrew, is every year – for the, you know, the new year, you know, when they rush week, you know, and they get new people into his fraternity. I never went to college. I mean, I went to college, but you know, I didn't do college. So I don't know what I'm saying, but you know, it was rush week and every, and the new members of the frat, they would throw a show.
Oh, I love that.
And he always hired me.
That's so awesome.
Yeah,
man.
Dope, yeah.
Man.
And he'd give me like a couple grand every year, man.
Yeah.
He did it 3 years in a row after that.
Wow. Yeah.
Swear to God, he was the coolest fucking dude, man.
Yeah. You know, outside of Comedy Talk, too, like, I love that story because, like, I in my life, all I want is to be surrounded by as much positivity and helpfulness as you can be around. And I know this happens in other lives and other careers, but down to my soul, one of the best things in doing a creative job is collaboration. But so much of collaboration, to me, that I love isn't even about the creative part of it. It's the soul of somebody being like, look, man, I love you.
Yeah.
And whatever you need, like, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And that vibe, like, the fucking sign it guy vibe, like, I see that so much in this career.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. You get that reward of just meeting so many people who want to help.
Yeah.
Stand-ups, they want to help writers, they want to help actors.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you make it
in this business,
man. You find those people, and you help them, and they help you.
Yeah.
And it's pure, and it's
genuine. Yeah. It really is.
That has to be the energy that you're putting out, though, in order for those people to show up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know
Don't
what
you
mean?
Hate it when you see, and here I go again. I'm spitting. I'm going back onto the negative side, but we're allowed to talk about it. Every now and then you get that, you see that one cat that's just so negative and making it, and I'm like,
yeah.
Yo, what is he doing?
Yeah, man.
To where it's like it's working for you, because to me, when you're negative, like one, I push away from you, and two, I feel like I fall down this spiral. And I'm not creative anymore.
Right, yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah,
whenever it's like good vibes, for some reason, shit just starts coming my way, man.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, I'm saying, like, people show up. Like, people show up and opportunities show up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, even just like liking things. Like, whenever I'm around negative friends, like, I have some friends that are negative, and then we go to the improv and we're watching people, and I'm like, man, this guy sucks. But then if I'm with my positive friends, I'm like, everybody's so good. Everybody's hilarious. And it's just like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But that's the thing that scares me the most about being around negative people is that I start talking shit.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And then I leave and I'm driving home and I'm like, that's not me.
I want to interrupt you on that one because my boy Ian, and this is years ago, man. This is like, fuck, man. I have to say like almost 20 years ago. Ian and I were, we were just hanging out and I was like, yo, dude, I was hating on, I'm not hating, but I was just like, yo, I don't understand how this dude goes up every week. Mm-hmm. I just don't get it. Mm-hmm. Like, why is he so confident and why is he going up all the time, taking up stage time? Like, his time could be part mine and part yours. Like, why he's filling up space, man. And I was like, there was so much hate. And I swear to God, did I tell you the story already, Dre?
No.
And Ian was like, yo, B, you gotta let guys like that suck. Because those guys that suck give everybody else a reason to know the difference between good and bad.
Give them a gauge. Yeah.
So you gotta have that. Yeah. You gotta have a guy that sucks. That way people can go, he's good. Because if you have a lineup of a bunch of good, it's kind of hard to even like.
Can I ask a question? Have you ever seen a guy like that? You know, at that stage.
Uh-huh.
And then see him 5 years later.
I still see this dude.
Wow.
And see a guy 5 years later and go.
No, I still see that dude. He's still working.
Is he good? Is he better?
I guess he's a little better.
That's my
question. Look, no disrespect, man. Like, you know, comedy is subjective. You know what I mean? Got he's going to find his niche and he's going to find his people. But to me, like, I just don't get it. It's like, I'm not hating right now.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Because
I'm not saying his name. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying, like, it's subjective. He has his own lane. People, he will have his group of fans or whatever. But in my eyes, I'm just like, I don't get it. Like, I guess
my line of questioning was more so like, can you let a guy like that suck and then know that he may get better? You know what I mean? Like, because if you hate on him when he's not good.
Yeah.
Are you
saying, is there potential? No. I literally feel like, no. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah.
Here's
his YouTube channel.
I'm not going to put it out there like that. Hey, look, there's people out there that think I suck, and that's fine. Yeah. It's whatever. Yeah, but I'm just saying, I know that. Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Here's the other thing too. There's a difference between being negative and having an opinion.
Yeah.
I'm like as opinionated as they come on things, but I don't want to say that, like, you know, you suck because, like, it's a difference between, you know, like saying that somebody sucks on stage because he is taller than me than somebody sucks on stage because his jokes suck.
Yeah.
Like that's, there's like, I'm mad at you because you have more money than me and you get more like this than me. Like I don't understand that, but if he's actually bad, then I think he's bad.
Yeah.
Like, well, here's the thing about your special too. It's like your special is the fucking best, dude.
Oh.
And me and my ex-girlfriend, who's amazing. She's the best. We watched it a lot.
Oh,
like
thank you, man.
And she's a white girl, and she was like, she got introduced to you that way, and she's like a big fan.
I love it.
And she's a comic too. We love you.
Thank you.
And the thing I think is that everyone on, there's so many specials on Netflix.
Yeah.
And you're saying this exact same thing where it's like, your special is so good that it stands the fuck out because there's so many bad ones on there. And you're like, this is a fucking special, man.
Thanks, man.
Is why it's called a special.
Aw, thanks, man. Yo, that's my blood, sweat, and tears on that, man. They said no to me so many fucking times on Netflix.
Yeah.
And I think you saw it on stage, man. When you have to pay for it and prove.
Yeah, man.
I think there was just this extra energy in me that I was just like,
that
man.
That was dope, too. But it shone, dude.
Thank you, bro.
It shined, man.
I appreciate it, man. Oh, look, we got to go to a break, right? We'll go to break, and we'll be right back with this very funny, talented kid from fucking Iowa, of all places, man. When I think Asian, I think Iowa. Oh, we'll be right back with Koi Pond. One thing I hate the most is brushing my teeth. I don't know why, but I can't stand it. I don't know. It just takes forever for me. It's only a couple minutes, but for me, it's taken a lifetime. The truth is, most of us are brushing our teeth wrong. Let's just admit it. We all do it wrong. You grab that old nasty toothbrush that's sitting on the side of the sink. It's dripping. It's just dirty. There's old toothpaste gunk stuck to the brush hairs. It's just an ugly thing. It's all spread out. It's not even nice and square anymore. You know what I mean? It's just all flared out to the right. It's just an ugly piece of equipment that you have to clean your teeth with, and I hate it. Well, guess what, you guys? There's this new toothbrush out there. It's a smart toothbrush. It's called Quip. That's right. Go get Quip now. In fact, go to Get Quip. GetQuip.com. That's right. Get the future in toothbrushes, man. This thing's amazing. To switch the head, it'll tell you when you have to switch the head. They'll actually mail it to you. They're going to be like, hey, look at your toothbrush. Is it disgusting? Well, guess what? We got a new brush head coming right now for you. You just click out the old one and snap in the new one. That's GetQuip.com/Koi, K-O-Y. Right now, you'll get the first refill pack free with Quip Electronic Toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at GetQuip.com/Koi. That's right. GetQuip, GetQuip.com/Koi. Go and take the steps you need to a cleaner mouth. Kaylin got a new car, Dre. I don't know. Yeah. Since you've been gone, I've been wanting to tell you that beautiful Prius out front, brand new, is Kaylin's.
I saw that.
Yeah, and it's gorgeous. Nice car. It's silver with a dark gray interior.
Black interior, black dark interior, gray. Yeah, dark outside. Gray. Yeah.
How many? Speaking of electric cars, it's a hybrid, correct?
Well, actually, Chris is the Prius hybrid, which he also got on TrueCar.
Oh, what?
And then I'm the Honda Civic.
Oh, that's right. Yours is the Civic. I'm my the bad. Hatchback, but yours is the brand new Civic. The new design.
Yeah, mine is that brand new one.
It's beautiful. You know, that was my first car was a Honda, and I love Hondas. And I know that the one thing about Honda is they'll last about 47 years for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Right? For sure.
Yeah. 300,000 miles.
300,000 miles. Yeah. That's standard for Honda. Yeah. And one thing that if anyone's going to buy a new car, that's a good one to start off with is the Honda. Am I right, Kaylin?
Oh, 100%.
But one thing I hate about getting a new car is shopping for a new car. I hate going to the dealership. Mm-hmm. I hate talking to dealers. I mean, there's a lot of good ones out there, but I'm just saying it's annoying. I don't want to compare. I don't want to haggle. I don't want to do any of that. I don't want to barter. You know, I don't want to trade in animals for cars. I don't want to, you know what I mean? I don't want to, like, give my right foot for something. It's just like, hey, let me walk in, get my car, and leave. And the best way to do that is TrueCar. TrueCar.com. TrueCar. That's right. Introducing True Price from True Car. Know exactly what you'll pay, including fees and accessories, before you get to the dealership. You know your true price is great because True Car shows you what other people paid for the same car that you wanted. They'll show you the same price. That's right. If you want a good buying experience, go to certified dealers at True Car with their true prices, and it's just the best way to do it. So when you're ready to buy new or used, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Would you say that you loved your experience?
Yeah, it was as easy as getting a car can be.
Boom. That's right from Kaylin's mouth. It was so good that Chris Luxamano went and got a Prius from the same website.
Yep.
True Car, you guys, do it today. Dude, we're back. Andrew Lopez, man, my boy Dre is here. What were we talking about before we went to the break?
Well, I just forgot. Subjectivity in talent and in creative art.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah. So, well, like, my boy Ian, I love that because you can use that in life. It's not just comedy. It's in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yes. Always use, if someone is doing a shitty performance, that is basically showing where the bar is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So this guy is here, then you need to be like here.
Yeah.
And people will see that.
Yeah.
They need that to compare. Yeah. It's like, yo, he's really good. Why? Because did you see how bad that was?
Mm-hmm.
And that's in anything.
Mm-hmm.
There's bad rappers, there's bad actors.
Anything.
Why not? That could be at work, Andre. That
like
could be
like a pilot. You don't want to.
That's funny. That's funny.
You don't want to be like,
funny.
You don't want to be like
Chris Rock. Yeah. Chris Rock did that on his last special, and I fucking lost it when he said that cops. You know, there's a few bad apples.
Yeah,
he's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
No, some of these jobs you can't have bad apples,
yeah,
and that
yeah,
is so like it's like so pilots.
Good, yeah, yeah.
You know, we got some good pilots.
Yeah. There's this really funny comic at the store right now, Ron Taylor. He's so funny. He's got this joke that's kind of like that, where it's just like it's so true, man. It's like there are some things, like he talks about cops a lot, where it's just like you can't just like walk in there and be the worst at what we call you to come do. Like,
yeah,
you don't call me to come save your life.
Yeah,
I called you to come save my life, and you're taking it.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
not
yeah,
how
yeah,
that plays. That's not how yeah, that goes. Yeah, yeah. Like that's like the premise of it. And there's something what I think that's so interesting about that whole thing though is that like you know what you're getting into. So, like, if I know if I'm going to be a pilot, I can't be a bad pilot. That's my responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I'm going to be a comic, it's my responsibility to stay in my own lane.
Yeah.
And I think, like, there's so many comics who are negative and hate and don't want to build their own houses. And I'm like, I don't think you realize you shouldn't be a comic. That's not – you're never going to make it because you are in your own way anyway.
Yeah,
so it's
yeah,
like this – maybe you should go work at FedEx or NACA or something.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. He's a funny guy at work.
Yeah. 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 Just – Stay there.
Like, there.
That's your responsibility.
Remember when you used to crush in front of your cubicle?
Stay there, man.
Because there's more work to be done out here in this game, man.
Yeah.
They think it's just easy. My jokes will get everything. Yeah, your jokes will get attention, but then you need to also continue that.
Yeah.
There's so much work, man.
Yeah, yeah. It's an interesting thing.
It's so funny because when I ran into you, I had no idea you were in that movie Blockers, man.
I was
laughing so hard, bro.
That's such a
funny
movie. Man, yeah.
And did you know he was in it?
No.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is.
Go see it, man. It's a good movie.
You haven't seen Blockers?
No.
With John Cena and...
No, haven't seen it. Yet.
Oh, God. What's her name? She's so funny.
Leslie Mann.
Yeah, Leslie Mann.
Amazing. Oh, yeah. I know of the movie, but I haven't seen it.
Okay, just watch it. You can pull it up on... I'm pretty sure it's on Netflix now. No, I watched it in my room and paid for it.
Yeah. It's on
it was in my
now.
Yeah, yeah. So no, I watched it in my hotel room. That's when I saw it.
A lot of airplanes.
Yeah,
you know, I was sitting on an airplane, and the guy next... I was flying back from Denver... And the guy next to me was watching it, and my scene came up.
Yeah.
And he looks at me, and I just go,
yeah.
And I just shrug.
Yeah.
And it was like, that's the first time in my life that's ever happened. And I was
that's
like,
cool.
I was
that's
like, so
cool,
weird, man.
You should have looked at him and went, dude, I'm from Iowa. We all look the same.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like, really, man?
Wait,
you think that's me, man?
Let me guess. Kimchi, motherfucker.
Yeah. And then when I'm I make him feel bad the entire plane ride, and then when I'm leaving, he's like, it was me.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, man.
Congrats on that.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate it. It was, it was a dream come true, man. Like, it was, you know what's interesting is I hear a lot of Asian performers and creatives talk about how their parents didn't support them getting into what they wanted to do.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, and my parents were incredibly supportive.
Well, I'm sorry to jump on you, and I should let you talk, but you said your parents grew up here.
No, they're immigrants.
Oh, so they are immigrants.
They're immigrants,
They came at an early age or they came...
My dad came at an early age.
Okay.
And then my mom came when she was in the 20s, when my dad married her in the Philippines. They got married in the Philippines.
Okay, she was 20 in the Philippines, though.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, she's an immigrant, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? So, yeah, that's crazy that they were very supportive.
Yeah, it was, and I think it was, you know, it was a very... I mean, it was supportive in the really funny way where it was like, go do what you want, but also, like, you're kind of bad at it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was, like, a truthful supportive. It wasn't, like,
so... mom, hey!
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's so damn funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was the same thing, man. My mom would do shit like that. She was the funny one in the room, and she didn't understand. Oh, you want to tell jokes?
Yeah.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
It's funny. I never noticed you being funny around here, but
you know how you do a show when you first start, and your friends are like, man, I was so good. My mom would come up to me and hug me and be like, you bomb.
Yeah.
You know? No.
She's like a Filipino godfather.
Yeah.
She's hugging you and like, hey, next time, huh?
Yeah.
Next time. Remember, we're from Iowa.
Yeah,
we can always go back.
Yeah, that's just, I call her every day. She's like, you give up? Yeah, don't if you don't want. But
if you don't want to give up, that's fine. But I'm just saying, we will accept you back here.
You're home.
Your LeBron James posters are still up in your room.
is she, the one that she always says, you could be a teacher.
You can be a teacher. You were always smart, Andrew.
Yeah. Yeah.
My God, you could read a book.
Kids are dumb. They're so stupid.
They're so dumb now, but not you.
But yeah, it's
Chris Laxamana is Filipino. Look at that.
I know. I saw him. We locked eyes, and I was like, oh, dude.
Yeah. I got a gift for him. I got a gift for him. I got it for you in Tokyo, and I can't wait to give it to you. And I forgot to bring it.
Oh.
Yeah,
oh.
Man. It's beautiful. It's the same size as you.
Oh, God. Like, yeah, I wonder what it is.
Huh?
I wonder what it is.
Oh, bro. It's so cute. It's got a red jumper. Oh, dude.
You got a full beard, too, man. You're one of those. You're like my little brother. Like, you have a Filipino beard, which is like a thing.
Well, he
man.
Got that when he was six.
Yeah. I've held on to this one.
He had that since birth. That was one of his mom's complaints. Yeah. You were easy till your beard came out of it. Scratched the inside of my pussy so hard. Oh, to this day, every time my pussy itch, I think of your beard.
I'm shaving tomorrow.
Every time he looks, man.
Every time my vagina itches, I look at Chris.
Yeah, yeah.
It reminds me of the day I give birth to you.
I swear to God, Chris is not going to be able to look in the mirror.
Or play this pod in front of his mom. Oh, your goatee. Holy shit. It was like sandpaper.
Oh, shit.
He had a full beard, man.
That's crazy,
at birth. Look at him. He's a hairy fucking dude.
Man. Yeah, it's beautiful, dude.
Dude, he shaved it yesterday. Look, that's like the, what is it called, 6 o'clock shadow? That's it.
I'm only hairy neck up, though. Everything else, I got nothing.
Man. I got no hair on me, man. Asians got no hair.
Yeah, man. Hey, he has no hair from the chin down, bro.
Yeah.
It's like he's got a porcelain body.
Yeah.
It's all shiny and glossy. His fucking face looks like it's from Iran.
Good to see you, Joe.
Yeah, man, long time no see.
I know.
Welcome back. Welcome to the show, bro. We missed you, man. You remember that cartoon Monchichi?
No, man.
Damn. Fuck, Monchichi. You gotta see it. It's like half human, half Chris Laxamana. And they made a cartoon, man. It's been an ongoing joke.
It's an exact replica.
Oh, it's right there. Look. Show Alex. See it? Look at it. It's half human.
What is that? Is it an American cartoon?
No. I don't know where it was from.
Wow.
Maybe it wasn't, right?
Yeah. I don't know what it was. Look at that. It's the creepiest shit. But that was Chris at birth, right there.
I love it, dude.
Andrew, this is fun, man. So where are you working at now, man?
Yeah, so I'm just writing now. I'm trying to produce movies. Stand-up is still a grind. It's hard for me to, I'm sure if there's other Asian comedians, they know this too. It's hard to talk about, but it's hard for me to get stage time. And I think it's hard.
To this day, they still, there's still that category of Asian comic, and I just don't get it because we're just funny now.
Yeah.
Bobby Lee is not an Asian comic.
Yeah.
And for years, totally. He's never been.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's never been. Mm-hmm. And Margaret Cho has never been an Asian comic.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I have never been an Asian comic. And it's so funny. It's like, one thing I hear is the accent thing. And I'm like, look, man, when you tell a story and you talk about your family member, you go into character.
Yeah, right,
no matter what race or creed you are.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that is an accent.
You
understand the joke.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
hear what my mom is saying and you're laughing at it.
It's not the accent.
It's not the accent. You're laughing at the situation and the fucking structure of the joke.
Absolutely agree.
And you can say that for anybody. Mm-hmm. You can say that about Eddie Murphy when he talks about his uncle making a barbecue.
Right.
You can say that about fucking Jeff Foxworthy when he's talking about, his father or whatever, you know what I mean? Or talking about rednecks.
Yeah.
It's like those are called accents.
Yeah,
but the joke is still there, man.
I totally agree, man.
When Louis Anderson talked about his baby brother and did the whole baby voice with his baby brother, that's an accent.
Yeah.
It's an accent.
Yeah.
So don't, I find it lazy when people say that, man, because, I take pride in what I write, and I'm pretty sure all the other, you take pride in what you write, and And it's kind of like a slap. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm. No, it's definitely
like,
a slap.
Yeah, it's sure. Fucking, yeah, yeah, man. Like, yo, chill out. Understand that funny's funny. And there's a reason why this dude came from Iowa. You know what I mean? And made people laugh in Iowa. And there's a reason why I came from Tacoma.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and there's a reason why I'm selling out in fucking Nashville. Yeah. And not one goddamn Asian was in the audience.
Yeah, man.
Because funny's funny.
Funny's funny. And it's a joke. It's a real joke. My day job is writing screenplays. And like, that's the one of the biggest things I ever learned from, like, I have some of the greatest mentors on earth. And
oh, you're welcome, man. Don't you hate guys that take compliments that aren't even theirs?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You're already on the show. You know, thanks, man.
It's one of those things where it's like, you know, one of the first things I learned when I started writing was, like, take Superbad, for instance, is like, you could look at it and be like, these are two bros trying to get alcohol to fuck girls. But the reason why you love it and you laugh with them and you love those characters, because it's about two insecure kids and they're breaking up and all they had was each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's going back to your joke thing. You can look at it on the surface and that's so lazy to be like, yeah, well, this is why this works. It's like, no, there's so much work behind this. There's so many pieces that were like constructed to make it look easy.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and there's just and I find that the Asians, especially in stand-up, have a lot of explaining to do.
Yeah.
And it was like, if I'm doing my mom's voice, like, that's not why I'm doing this bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you think I'm doing it because of that, but I'm doing it because I'm telling a story that's a truthful comedic premise
exactly.
to me. And there's a joke coming.
Yeah.
And it's part of
exactly. the thing. Like, yeah.
But as a person outside the Asian community mm-hmm. looking in mm-hmm. with Asian comedy, what I found is that the stories are universal. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it resonates with other cultures because it's the same thing.
It's the same damn thing, man.
Dude, totally.
It's all relatable.
It's all relatable.
Nothing better than when there's this one family that always comes and see me. It's a white family, and they always come to see me, and they always bring something for me to sign. Like 6 years ago, they brought me a Wii controller.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And then it's funny. They'll bring something and it's always from my mom's bits.
Right.
And they always say the same. Like there was another time they brought Vicks to a show and I had to sign Vicks. And it's like, but then they also relate. It's like my grandma used to put Vicks all over me.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, it has nothing to do with my mom being Filipino.
No.
They all do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially immigrants. Like immigrants didn't have health insurance. They had Vicks, motherfucker.
Yeah, right.
Totally.
Why do you think Puerto Ricans come up to me all the time and go, "Hey, man, my mom
it's the same
put Vicks all over me, mijo. They used to put it in tea and make me drink it."
That's the same with the black community.
Yeah.
Like I had asthma really bad when I was a kid, right? Yeah. My grandmother used to boil hot water and put Vicks in it. and put it next to my bed while I slept.
That's smart. Yeah, my mom did that too.
That's what I'm saying.
So that was a vaporizer.
That's exactly what it was.
Yep,
for sure.
It's the same
thing. It's relatable, man. But it's interesting too, because it's like right now, like I'm trying to that point, like, you know, I'll go out and pitch a TV show. Like my agents will set me up on all these meetings, and I'll go pitch something where it's like it stars three Asian people who are trying to fall in love. But the whole thing that they're not hearing is they're hearing Asian people. Instead of hearing that it's about love, they're like, I don't know what the market is for this, but it's like the market for love, you know, you're saying you know what the market is for Asian people, or you don't know what the market is for love,
because
the show is about love, which has nothing to do with the ethnicity. It just stars Asian people.
Do they not know where America is?
They know.
They don't, right?
No,
I don't get it.
No,
so
they don't.
Weird.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I just don't get it. Like I remember when we were kids, Andre. It was very black and white.
Yeah,
it was very, very black and white. And TV was black and white, literally.
Yeah,
and you know, and that's why we remember monumental things like when we saw Tiger Woods break into the scene.
Right,
that was big for me.
Yeah,
yeah,
because I was like, yo, this guy is being praised by the world right now,
in golf?
And his mother is Vietnamese, and he's about to win the Masters.
Yeah, man.
Right,
and he's black.
Right.
I was like, what? Like, you know, and that goes with countless people. When I found out Lou Diamond Phillips was Filipino, I was like, huh?
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you can bring yourself back to that time, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's crazy. But are we still there?
Well, I think
like we have so many. so many Asians that are like, I mean, Bruno Mars, bro. Like,
they have such a misconception of what the demographics of this country are now. Yes.
But how though, when you have a Puerto Rican, half Filipino man that is the biggest superstar of our time?
Here's my game, though. Here's the game that I love to play with that, is that you can go, like, they just don't see him as Asian. So it goes, name you can name five white actors, boom, 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 boom. Name five Asian actors, and the second one is always, ah, shit, I know his name. It's always, one is John Cho, and shit. And it's crazy that they can't do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It makes me mad when they go back old school. It's like, name five Asians. They're like, all right, John Cho. Okay, and another one. Bruce Lee. Like, motherfucker, he's not even here anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And that's interesting.
For 40 years, by the way.
Yeah.
For 40 years.
Yeah, and it'd be so easy to say Bruno Mars. Yeah. Like, that doesn't even hit their mind.
Isn't that crazy?
Like, you know what I mean? That's our Tom Hanks.
Yeah, man.
Like, it's such a weird
thing.
But
it's these guys doing it, – they're still doing all the same old – analytics and they do the studies for advertising.
Yeah.
So like if they want a guy in middle America to buy a Ford truck, for example, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that advertiser has to relate to middle America, quote unquote middle America. Yeah. But what they're not understanding is it's changed. The demographics are changing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure. Yeah.
Especially with the internet access.
Yeah. Bro, you don't think I flipped out when the Jabberwockies pulled their masks off?
And no disrespect to Ford, by the way.
No disrespect. But you don't think, like, you know, and it's so funny because I used to throw these B-boy events in Vegas. I would rent I would rent out basketball gyms and do B-boy events, and I would make the videotapes. And so I knew those cats. I knew all of them when they were kids, man. Seriously. It's called Illest B-Boys in the Game. I cut that shit up myself, man. And I did everything, bro.
Yeah, I love it, dude.
And I'm a B-boy at heart, man. So is he. He's a B-boy.
Oh, really?
So, nice. Man. And shout out to Style Elements and that whole crew, Crumbs and Remind and all them cats. But anyways, long story short, when they pulled their masks off, because I had no idea that was them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I was so far, like, our paths have moved on, and then we came back together.
Oh, so you didn't know that?
No, man, because I left Vegas to pursue stand-up. You know what I mean? Like, I was doing stand-up and also throwing events, but then when I went to L.A., it was all about stand-up. Okay. You know what I'm saying? And then when they pulled their mask off, and I'm like, and they were, like, from Vegas, I was like, that's my dudes!
That's crazy.
That's all of them! That's, you know, crazy. What I mean? I knew all those cats. And
what a brilliant concept to do that behind masks. Though.
So brilliant, bro.
Yeah.
And I'm not even joking, man, that literally did break that stereotype game.
Yeah.
Because if they didn't wear masks, man, I bet you it'd be harder for them to go through the auditions.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But when they put those masks on and it wasn't about race, it was just about dance.
Yep.
And you saw how we got down?
Yeah.
Bro, I mean, to this day, legend. You know what I mean? It's like, you can, how many dance crews have come out? You only say Jabberwockies.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start doing stand up in a Michael Myers mask.
Oh,
though.
Bro!
Just all of a sudden the biggest comedian in the world.
Tell me about it.
And with the voice?
Yeah, man, I got you.
Kill it, and he'd kill it. That's his catchphrase. I kill it. It's kind of dick.
I'll sign it, bro.
Yeah, I'll sign it. Anyways, man, we digress, and it's all about positive. I mean, we look at where everything is. And we were like, is it going to move? Yes, it is moving, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And
in no way am I hating, man. I'm just saying it's a slow progression, and I'm happy where we are. Still, I have to face challenges. I still have to prove my point, and I still have to pay for shit to make things happen. Yeah. But that's what life's all about.
Totally. And I'm proud that we're some of the people that are inspiring other people to keep doing it, to move it faster.
Yes.
You know, like, that's something I try to remind myself every single day, is that, like, I'll pay for whatever I need to pay for, or I'll write whatever I need to write, as long as it makes other people do it with me.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean? And I have to, like, remind myself that's part of why I like it, you know?
Dude, when I got that award this weekend in JFL, that stand-up comedian of the year, and all my peers were out there, man. They were all there that day, man. It was Dave Chappelle was out there. Kevin Hart was there. They were all there. Tiffany Haddish was next to me. And, you know, Little Rel was there. Yeah. And, God, Mark Maron was in the – I can keep going on.
So dope.
And to receive that award and actually to look at them and throw a speech out there about where it all came from and my struggle. And to be able to say, yo, now my son can be like, yo, fuck it, my dad did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
and this is what that trophy means to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I hope it inspires everybody else. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's a long journey, man. Mm-hmm. Not everybody gets the same path. Not everybody gets to sit in the carpool lane, man. A lot of us have to be in the goddamn slow lane.
That's right.
And a lot of obstacles in front of us, and that's fine. Don't hate your journey, man. Enjoy your path, bro. Because eventually the roads will cross. You know what I mean? And that's what I'm saying with you, Andrew. You're here, bro. And you know what I mean? And we're going to keep moving, man.
Oh, man.
Because we're going to inspire others, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what it's about. So I mean, I can never put you in my place, bro, because I'm so old. You know what I mean? But for me, you really can't. You really can't because you don't understand what this rich Asian kids means to me.
Right.
And it's like, what?
Right,
it's like.
Right.
It's like, what? Is this really happening? You know what I mean?
I never thought about it that way. Yeah.
It's like, you know, we got an all Asian cast. And when I say all Asian, it's like, back in the day, it's like, Margaret Cho got shit because even the Asian community was bashing her. Well, that mom is not fucking Korean. And blah, blah, blah. Instead of everyone just embracing it, going, fucking shut up. The network just gave a Korean woman a TV show. Right. Shut the fuck up.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. Right.
And that's what, you know, killed that show. Mm-hmm. It was a funny show. I mean, whatever it was still an Asian lady at the lead during the height of sitcom TV, man.
Yeah.
Like, this is when sitcom reigned. Right. It's not like what it is now, where you have a thousand channels and a million shows.
Yeah.
This is when there was only three networks, and one was given to her, primetime.
Right.
And the whole Asian community was knocking it down. I remember my best friend, William, was Korean, and he was knocking it. And I was just like, yo, dude, I was so into stand-up. You know, and back then, kids weren't into stand-up back then.
Right,
you know
what I mean?
And I remember he was Korean, and he was not embracing that show. And I was just like, come on, dude. Like, he was like, but she's Chinese. Like, what the? It should be a Korean mom if she's going to play a Korean. I was like, yo, chill. Just be happy that there's an Asian cast.
Totally.
So it's like, so now when I see this, man, you got Ronnie on there. Mm-hmm. You got John, you got Nico Santos is on there. You got, Chris Aquino. You got, Kristen Wu.
You got hot Asian people too, which it's like another thing that you've never seen them be the sexy, like, I'm gonna have sex with all these girls usually in mainstream.
Jimmy O Yang.
Yeah. Jimmy. Oh my God. So
like,
funny.
God, dude, like, I wish I can go on, man, but I mean, yo, the director.
Yeah, John Cho.
John Cho, like, killing it.
Yeah, man.
And now this is what that means to me. And that's why I do it. That's why I'm promoting the shit out of it. I'm not in the fucking movie, and I don't care. It's a movement, and I'm happy to support this.
Right.
Because I waited a long, long time for this.
You know, I'm glad you said that to me, too, because I really didn't think of it in that perspective. Because I'm growing up in a time when... I'm influenced by what you had to go through.
You're a Jabberwocky's generation.
Yes. Yeah.
You really are.
Yeah.
And that's not being a joke.
No, I totally agree with you.
You get that.
Yeah.
You get to have the Jabberwockies represent a group of Asians in mainstream entertainment.
Yeah.
Being accepted by black people, Latino people, white people. They have accepted that group.
My joke on that is that I'm in the Dragon Ball Z generation where it's every kid grew up watching anime. So now anime is fucking cool. But when my older brother was growing up, it was the nerdy Asian thing.
It was nerdy,
So it's like, and I totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Thank you for opening my eyes to that. That like Crazy Rich Asians means such a different thing.
So much, man.
Yeah.
That's why I started getting choked up a little bit in the middle when I was saying that. It's like, it's a lot. You know what I mean? And then that's where Hollywood is going.
Right.
And someone in Hollywood, someone in Hollywood took a risk.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody did. You know what I mean? Whether it's for financial gain, whatever the case is, it doesn't matter. Someone took the risk and said, fuck it. There's an audience. Let's see what happens.
Totally.
Now it's up to us, the community.
Yeah.
And I'm only half, bro.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I identify so much with my Filipino side. You know what I mean? Because I was raised by my mom's side. Dude, from the divorce, that's why I talk about my mom so much. I don't have stories about my dad because he left when I was 10. I only have stories about my mom's side, my grandmother. That's all I talk about. That's who I identify with. When I was looking for role models, I had none.
Right.
In 83, 82, there were none.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Comedy was my fucking role model.
Right.
When Margaret Cho came into the scene, I fucking embraced her. When I found out Rob Schneider was half Filipino, when I found out he said Raspberry Babinka, and I was in the theater, and I fucking jumped
what?
Up. I literally did.
I was in
the movie theater, and I was like, he said Babinka?
Yeah,
and then I made a point to tell everybody what Babinka was, because it was like – holy shit, the movement's here. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
You didn't have to keep it a secret anymore.
No,
like,
man.
That's what's, that is very interesting, too, where it's like if there's this idea and this mindset of it's what you were saying earlier, is that like now we've always been talking about like Asian people will come to this. Asian people will come to this.
Yeah.
But now we have to like back up that game.
Back it up.
Now we have to back it up.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. It's a wonderful story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like you can say this black movie, black people will go. And but no one ever goes, oh, but this is a good story. Like that new Tiffany Haddish movie that's about to come out with Whoopi and I forget what it's called, where she comes out of jail and she's they're catfishing
the
her
new
boyfriend.
Tyler Perry movie.
Yeah. Bro, I'm not even lying right now. I was crying during the trailer.
Yeah.
It was so damn funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not about black people going. It's about everyone should go.
Yep. Yeah.
It's just funny.
Back to the joke. It's the same thing as you're saying about joke thing. Is that like it's universal.
It's universal man. Yeah. People are starting to get it, man.
Yeah, yeah.
They're finally like, oh, okay. It's just a story. Like you said, it's a love story.
Yeah.
Crazy Rich Asians, I'm telling you, man. Not only support it, but embrace it, man. Like,
for
we
sure,
waited a long time for this movie. And like I said, I wasn't even in the movie. Yeah. I only know a couple dudes that are in the goddamn thing. And it's not even about that, man. It's finally, it's here.
Yeah, getting the opportunity to make a good movie.
Bro, I remember when Joy Luck Club came out, and I was excited for that when I was a kid. You know what I mean? So this is, it's been that long. I can't even remember the last time Joy Luck Club came out. Yeah. I mean, I can't remember when Joy Luck Club came out, but that's how long it's been since an all-Asian cast ever came out. And this is going to smash, bro. Yeah. I want everyone to see it. I already pre-ordered my tickets. August 15th, it comes out. Make sure you guys go see it. I think it already went out in Canada. I think you can watch that in Canada right now.
Totally.
Bro, my love for the stand-up game. I love Dr. Ken. I love Jimmy O. Yang. And there's a whole cast on there. Ronnie's on there.
Yes.
Ronnie Chang's on there. Nico Santos. God, the list goes on. Chris Aquino.
Cool.
She's Filipino.
Yeah.
Kristen Wu.
Constance Wu.
I'm sorry, man. I'm just getting excited because we got to rap. But boom.
There you go.
And go see
Blockers. There's a Filipino in there, too.
And most importantly, Andrew Lopez, man. This is what Hollywood's all about, man. You're a trendsetter, bro.
Oh, dude. I'm trying to chase you, though.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Hey, man. We're in the same race, man. We're all winning.
I love it, dude. I love it.
Dre, I love you.
Love you, bro.
Andrew, let's keep doing it.
Thank you guys for this was the blast. I love you guys. Thank you guys.
I love it. Stay positive and stay in your lane. I'm telling you, dreams happen, man. Enjoy the process. I love you. This is the Koi Pond. She would tell me stories how she used to hang on Queen Street. I thought, well, that's ironic, cause she looked royal. But I paid no mind cause she was acting like she needs me. I thought I had no time so I would make her way. Yeah. Now who'd have thought that she would walk away from me? I'm sleeping on her now, I'm wide awake. Damn, I miss the days when she would say she needs me. If I had the time with you again, I would like to be way more than friends. Girl, if you give me a second. Check it out. If you're trying to watch, I don't know, old movies, old TV shows, whatever it is, there's a new streaming platform out there called Pluto TV. That's right. Pluto TV is the leading free streaming television service. You can get anything you want. You want to watch kung fu flicks, you want to watch comedies, you want to watch whatever it is, whatever you can think of, they have it. Dude, it's so cool, man. You just download the app. Just go to your phone apps, download Pluto TV, and you can watch over 100 TV channels, over 1,000 movies, all of them on demand and completely free. That's right. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card. You don't need to even sign up. You just download the app. And it's free. It's that easy. What are you waiting for? Look at your phone right now and just download Pluto TV. Never pay for TV again. Just download Pluto TV. You can download Pluto TV for free on all your favorite devices, including your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStation, and anywhere else you stream. If you stream it, then you got to get Pluto TV. That's right. Pluto TV. Don't you hate when your texts get sent in the wrong order? How about when your drop call ruins your conversation? It's the worst. It's time to stop suffering from a fear of glitching out. Ditch your glitch for Boost super reliable, super fast nationwide network. And get 4 lines each with unlimited gigs for just $100 a month. Plus, get four free phones. That's right, four free phones, all on a network that you can count on. Visit your nearest Boost Mobile store and switch today. Boost makes it easy to switch. Switching makes it easy to save.